friends. He's not very nice. If he had been subverted before he came here, or when he came here, he did not say what he said. Wouldn't wonder about the consequences. But the fact that he said something, that was not very palatable. In fact, if I remember very well, I even made a comment that everybody is not free to say whatever they want to say. There's no more wrong in Ireland that if you say something, you're going to be caught. So, and they've got the right to say whatever they want to say, but he was offended irrespective of those things. Now, it's very difficult to understand, to be objective in this kind of thing. Was this offended because of an allegation? Or was this offended because of what he said in the meeting? And the worst part, the consequences of this, is that when people come here, are going to be scared of talking to us. Because they're going to be afraid that if I go back home, I'm going to be suspended. Obviously, setting a very bad precedent for the committee, if not for the whole parliament. Because people should feel free to say what they want to say, and we can understand. So I'm just bringing to you, members, I want us to serve about 5 minutes, because we need to talk to the CEO and the chairperson of the board. So I'm just giving you a few minutes to discuss this thing and say how members feel about this. I don't want to use my subjective feelings and influence you in one direction or the other. Even those that were not here, I think they've got the right to comment. Though they didn't hear what he said, but we can get the case of this and give you what he actually said. So members, let's just have 5 minutes to discuss it before we go on to what it is for us. That is not for the department, neither for the minister, but I guess there's nothing that is outside that. Oh, okay, honourable comment. Fortunately, you were here.
Chair, thank you very much. I was here then, but I was out of the room when you first started this debate. So, discussion. So I'm sorry, I just have to ask you, who has been suspended? I picked up the background, but who has been suspended?
If you remember, the presentation was done by the CEO after the chairperson. Then towards the end, the Mr. Mbaba was in the embassy, who talked about some of the things that are not going right in the NHMS. And he was actually the last person to talk from there. That's Mr. Mbaba was up there.
I must confess that I was not part of that meeting. So I don't know exactly what happened. What I wanted to check is whether, because you said you spoke to the CEO. What do you think the explanation about why this was the person suspended? And why was the timing that way? And why did they bring you here if they knew that you were going to suspend you the following day? It does not make sense to bring somebody to a meeting where you know you are going to suspend them the following day, because you can't say you did not know when they were here that you were going to suspend the person the following day.
I hear you, but I was thinking that we maybe complete or finish with the people before us. Then immediately we should make in a way that we have the 5 minutes you are talking about. But at the end, because really I don't feel comfortable discussing this in front of them.
Those who weren't present and those of us who passed it. got the facts in front of us when we discuss it, so we're not discussing it in a vacuum. But I think, you know, people, yeah, we're not living in a secret state anymore, so there must be transparency. Thank you.
Thank you very much, madam. I think the key thing here is to make sure that we're truly transparent, and people should not be scared of coming to the meeting, should not be scared of saying, that as long as it's within the parliamentary language. That is the bottom line. I think we postpone this to the end. Definitely the question that you asked, when I talked to the CEO, he said, firstly, I wanted to confirm that has he been suspended? And he confirmed that he has been suspended a day or two after this meeting. The letter that I got from the chairperson of the board was actually saying that he was suspended because of what he said. Mm. But the CEO was saying, no, there was something, there was information that got him into his office before they came here. And then they decided that they needed to suspend him because they wanted to do further investigation. And he further promised that by Friday they would be knowing what's going on and that he said that. I think let's leave all those things for later when we discuss it. Okay. Thank you very much, Madam. We'll postpone that until we deal with it. Now let's go on to the compensation commissioner. And the department is here. I'm told that the director general is going to be coming. But in the meantime, I think of what people who are living in this country. I'm not sure whether it's Advan or it's EMOCD, but there must be somebody who's living in this country. Maybe members, let's just introduce ourselves, though I know most of them know us. Let's introduce ourselves, and then we'll give over to the commissioner. The commissioner who was very senior in the school, but now really said, I think he's enjoying himself, but not entirely. He's a change person. Okay, Mappy, let's start with you.
Good morning. Thank you.
You can look at your title so that we can code.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Maroko Kutantasa.
I'm Batu Kana.
Thank you. isn't here.
And use your rally voice, please.
Entity. And thus, you all have spent a lot of time.
discussions with the DG and the minister, we felt in the first phase of the reforms of the overall system, National Institute of Occupational Health, NVOD and CCOD, that we need to start looking at some processes. So what I'm presenting to you is a strategic plan that covers at least this two groupings, two units, the CCOD Compensation Fund and the NVOD, which is under the One Act, the Occupational Disease and Mind and Work Act. So that's the strategic plan you have in front of you, and the annual performance plan. So that's the clarification right at the outset. And if I have time towards the end, we'll tell you a bit more about some exciting processes we are underway on reforming the National Public Health Institute. But that's not the purpose today. We'll come back when DG feels comfortable about bringing it to the portfolio committee. But if you have some time, we'll tell you about that. So I'm going to start. It's always nice to know history because it's an important issue about where we come from. And if we understand the past, then we can always work out where we're going forward. We'll tell you some of the issues that we found in the sort of 9 months, the gestation period. Unfortunately, I took up my job in July last year. So in the 9 months, we'll tell you what we found to date and some of the issues and interventions we're making. We'll then get into the strategic plan for the next 3 years, starting this year. We'll deal with the annual performance plan and some of the indicators and targets in it. We'll talk about the budget because that's coming up later on and we need to support us in some of the budget issues. And then how do we go forward with the support of your committee, Chair? So in history, the act that we have, the Occupational Disease and Mind and Work Act, is 100 years old this year. And it's fascinating. It was used to be called the Mind and Sight Act of 1912, Act 19 of 1912. And it's fascinating in terms of the documentation, Chair, that this vexing issue of compensation has always troubled portfolio committees. So we called them at that stage the Sarskin Union Legislature Select Committee on Public Accounts. I guess that would be SCOPA, if you have to bring it up to current day parliamentary committees. So they have deliberated and said that the compensation fund is facing a liability of £14 million. That was in 1922. They made an import, the Act was 1912, but in 1922 is when they deliberated in Parliament. But they pointed out that as the exhausted mind slows down, it falls with cumulative effect on the surviving mind. The committee considers that no time should be lost in laying down measures to ensure the adequacy of the fund. Now, Chair, you pointed out at the beginning. Now, this was approximately 80 years ago. A similar committee met, albeit the SCOPA, and raised the same issue. So what I'm getting at is that it's going to take us some time to make changes, but we are going to make the changes, and committees prior to you in this August House has also deliberated on this issue for a long time. So in summary, the problems that we've had has been, and I presented some of the issues last year when we met, there's been problems at the level of governance. There's various committees laid out by the Act that have been non-functional, and in some instances not properly appointed, etc. Claims management, as you know, from the turnaround times, the problems in Eastern Cape, Northwest, and I'm sure ex-mine workers have been reaching out to members of the portfolio committee, if anything at all, in terms of the difficulty they're having in accessing services and getting payments. The infrastructure we'll talk a bit more about in a little while, and then the big issues about the sustainability of the fund, the compensation fund. We have lots of data, there's pressure, the first diamonds were discovered in 1860. It changed the face of our country. Gold was discovered approximately 10 years later. But unfortunately, 150 years from now, we still haven't resolved some of the issues and we talked about it. We think we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I must say, with the support of the DG and the Minister, the Chief Finance Officer, the DG, we've had tremendous support in trying to put things together. And that's why that gives me hope to actually move this process forward. So, what are some of the interventions we've done? So these are the immediate interventions over the last 9 months, because it's one thing to have a strategic plan that looks forward, but it's something that we have to do right now to prevent further collapse of the system. Literally, the system has collapsed. So the first thing we did, Chair, was as of December last year, we had a unified management structure that oversees these two, the Medical Bureau of Occupational Disease and the Compensation Commission. And that's laid out in the spec, and I take it that members have got our long report, or at least have had sight of the long report that was been signed off by the DG and the Minister, and spells out some of the management changes. The second issue was there were two buildings in downtown Johannesburg that housed, one building housed the compensation fund, and one building house the medical bureau pump station for the region. The one building was private, where we were renting space to Public Works, and the other building belongs to the Department of Public Works. It's a Department of Health building, albeit under the Department of Public Works. So we've now consolidated all activities, Chair, as of the 1st of March this year. At the end of February, we actually finally moved out. So the entire link now for the entire compensation fund and the claims process and the benefit examinations that are done by the Medical Bureau are now in one building. And we are hoping that in the not too distant future, members of this house will visit with us. And we will host you, apart from hosting a visit to the mine, which you quite correctly point out. We'll talk about the inspections as well. I point out we've had tremendous support upfront from the DG at all hours, awkward times. We've had some industrial relations problems. DG has intervened even over weekends to help me out with some of these issues. We've had some pushback on the staff on the restructuring that we're doing and input, and we've had tremendous support. And then finally, we've delivered on the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. I know this was this portfolio committee had been had major problems in the past with the non-delivery of the staff plans and the annual performance plans, etc., including the audit agenda as well. So the strategic plan, as I mentioned, combines the compensation commissioner and the medical bureau. The vision is an accessible, we have a long text, but it really is to develop an occupational system that delivers to our people, for the workers in South Africa. And I pointed out to you last year, there are 17 million people, including yourself, that work in South Africa. We need to look after your health and safety. And that's part of the system that we're going in. 14 million are in the 13 million are in the formal economy, where we can put a tax number, and 3 million, 4 million are in the informal economy. The street traders, the hawkers, etc. And we need to begin to start looking at work with them. But the narrow part is that we deliver a compensation system and services in terms of the workers. So that's the mission. The mission is the enhancement of the health system. We are working within the public health system, and we'll talk later on about some service delivery models that we are doing with the retooling of primary health care and the district health system and universal financing models through national health insurance. We are looking at some models as well that build on the compensation system. And of course, values are straightforward that brought through the Department of Health, of integrity, trust, etc. The policy initiatives that we will be embarking on this year, so getting to the big picture about what we are intending to do within the Department of Health in terms of the advice to the minister and ultimately through this committee, we have to make substantive amendments to the occupational disease and mines and work plan. And I'm going to talk to some of those substantive changes later on, because one of the key areas that's come about is I don't know how we allowed an industry chair to externalize the human health consequences, the social consequences, and the environmental consequences. Essentially what we've done is dug a hole in the ground, we've extracted mineral wealth. Of course, there's big discussions about beneficiation, but essentially the consequences of digging the hole in the ground, whether it was in the Witwatersrand, in parts of the Western Cape, the quarries, Northern Cape, etc., has had tremendous effects on our people, whether it's the workers or the surrounding communities. And you know some of these around investors and some of the other legacy issues that we're facing. And this act in particular shows us some of the legacy issues that we face. So we're going to be doing substantive amendments, and I'll talk about that in a little while. Secondly, it's expanding the coverage of controlled mines in the world. I pointed out to you last year in the presentation that there are plus minus 1,800 entities registered with the Department of Mineral Resources. Mm-hmm. Of those 1,800 entities, there possibly are about 1,500 that are actually active mines and works, quarries. 300 might be mineral rights, where you haven't converted your mineral rights to go and dig a hole in the ground. Of that 1,500 or 1,800, 246 are controlled mines and works that are under my control as the commissioner and the director of the medical bureau within the Department of Health under the DG. So these are controlled mines and works where we can lay down fairly specific conditions under which they operate in terms of promoting and protecting the health of the workers that work in those controlled mines. So we want to expand the coverage because we sense that beyond the issues, and at some stage here, there might be an issue about bringing together two portfolio committees, your committee, Chair, and the Minerals and Minerals Resources Committee, to begin to start looking at some of the issues that govern them both sides because of the problems of also the Mine Health and Safety Act, which is under the Department of Mineral Resources. The third aspect is to look at models for decentralized services. At the moment, we are based in Johannesburg in terms of the benefit examination. Benefit exam examination, a clinical examination. We do chest x-rays, we medically examine workers or ex-workers, or we get reports from the mine or from service providers in the territory. Doctors and provincial public health officials, they send us reports of the workers. Dr. Zungu chairs a committee that keeps at these reports of chest x-rays, lung function, etc. Now, you cannot have a system that's based in Johannesburg when we have the whole of South Africa to look after. And many of the ex-mine workers are not sitting in Johannesburg. They're sitting in Eastern Cape, they're sitting in Lesotho, they're sitting in Swaziland, Mozambique, etc. So we have to look at new models for service delivery. Mm-hmm. They've been tried in the past, they failed because they were not embedded strictly within how we are looking at teaching in the public health system. The third aspect is to look at models for service delivery within and outside South Africa. And within South Africa, we've had some consensus. Fortunately, we operate within similar clusters, and with the lead DDCs appointed in Zambia out there, Dr. Anben Pillay on the NHI pilot, etc., there's some work. But we are discussing with the DG about how do we deal with services outside South Africa. But in terms of the Act, there are, because of the migrant labor system here, there are workers that are sitting in surrounding countries. And Dr. Zungu has accompanied our minister on quite a few meetings. There's a SADC protocol now on TB harmonization, etc. And there's some major work taking place in terms of TB, not just in within South Africa and mine workers, but also in the outside countries. And then lastly, there's the issue around alignment of compensation. The Minister of Finance, we pay lump sum payments. There's some pensions that are there, but we don't have alignment both in terms of quantity and amount in terms of alignment with the compensation for occupational injuries and diseases in the Department of Labor. So there's some alignment issues that you have to sort out, and those are some of the kind of stuff that we'll be discussing. And those will also be some amendments to the Act. So what was the past performance? As I told you about the historical. So you all know about the problems that we've had to date. So, you know, I don't have to teach you to the contrary. You know the problems with annual reports, compliance issues, management problems. A very important point here is the issue around administration covered by the Department of Health. Now, the compensation for occupational injuries and diseases in the Department of Labor, the entire administration of the fund is covered by the levy from the company. But in this Act, the entire administration, including providing the medical services, you know, I told you the chest x-rays, the... So if you're an ex-mine worker, the entire burden falls on the state to provide these services. And in the 12-13 financial year, we had a budget of approximately 42 million rand. We spent 34 million, which was 1.4% of the compensation fund. Now the benchmark, if you're taking a fund management chair, and you all have met the Council for Medical Teams, so the committee is well aware of a benchmark. That means you collect money and you pay out claims. So if I took the benchmark for the Medical Aid Administration, between 10 and 14% goes on administration of the fund. So at 1.4% DG, we are grossly under-supported. So that's a discussion we need to have at some stage about how you build us up in terms of fund management or fund administration, because the compensation fund currently is valued around 2.4 billion. Now, going forward on the compensation fund, we should have a separation of the compensation fund. The compensation fund is a big picture. It covers four accounts within it as laid out by the Act. It's called a mines account, a works account, a state account, and a research account. The mines account will look after the controlled mines. We must collect the levies from the controlled mines and put the money into the mines account. The works account relates to smelters and quarries. We collect the money from those in that 246 and we put the money into that account. The state account is for pensions. In the old Act, remember the Mining Crisis Act and its forerunner? There used to be provision for colored and white South Africans. I mean, this was part of the provision. Unfortunately, Africans were not considered in the past in many instances. And this was one of the acts that did not look after African people. So we have an historical process where we took on the amendments and we continued with pensions. We have about 188 of them left, colored and white pensioners. And that's where the state account provides the support. So that's some money that's appropriated by Parliament to the Department of Health. And the research account gets money from the mines and works account. There's a proportion on the formula that puts money into research that should be from the personal profit account. So the last year we collected revenue of 336 million and we expended 149 million. And just some breakdowns for occupational diseases, we paid out 140 million. For the pensions, we paid out 2.9 million. I told you about the 188 pensioners. There's a special project which I'm sure this committee has deliberated on many occasions called the Eastern Cape project. We will talk to you about that. Last year we spent 54,000 to 20 places on it, but I have a slide on the DCK project. And the Office of the Deputy President is currently involved with that project because it involves quite a few departments like Department of Labor, the Unemployment Insurance Fund, etc. But I will talk to that later on, and if there's any questions, you can think of. And of course, the fundamental process was the sustainability issue of the actual valuation of the fund. Again, I have a slide that actually has to talk to that in greater depth. So let's discuss the Eastern Cape project. So members will recall that there was a particular problem affecting ex-mine workers in the Eastern Cape. They then came to Parliament. I don't know if members recall. They went to the Premier's office in the Eastern Cape. This goes back to the early 2000s. It starts around about the mid-90s with democracy, but then ultimately early 2000 it was kicked off. 54 million rand was made available. I'm told by the Deputy President, Honorable Deputy President, has an amazing memory. Apparently this money was from the Chamber of Mines, and it went to the Eastern Cape government, the former Transkei government, and ultimately it got treated to the Department of Health. So this is a very interesting history where the Minister of Health and myself was present at the meeting a few weeks ago with the Office of the Deputy President. We currently paid 38 million rand out of that fund. Originally, 18,569 ex-mine workers were identified, and it was a straight sum game. You had 54 million, you identified 18,500, and you divided the amount, 2,700. So there's no rocket science about this, but that's where that amount of 2,700 comes from. Approximately 14,000 ex-workers were paid to date. 16 million is currently available for the further 4,455 beneficiaries. The meetings we've had with the Office of the Deputy President involving Department of Mineral Resources, Department of Labor, and Department of Health, and there's a follow-up meeting taking place this Friday, hosted by the Deputy Minister of Mineral Resources, Minister Oliphant. Deputy Minister Oliphant is taking forward from the last meeting that we had in the Office of the Deputy President. And the Interdepartmental Committee is suggesting that this fund finally has to close by the 31st of March. Now, there are some problems around this. If you recall, our minister, Minister Motsoaledi, has signed a government gazette closing down this project 2 or 3 years ago. Unfortunately, the Portfolio Committee on Labour overturned his resolution. So, and the minister was not aware of it until we brought it to his attention a month ago in preparation for the meeting with the Deputy President. So we are sorting out all these legal issues about the Minister for the Government Gazette closing down the account, closing down the fund. We do have a PF, Public Finance Management Act query, because the Government Gazette has closed, Portfolio Committee on Labour had overturned these decisions. So we are sorting out those things, and those are some of the things that we are taking forward. But be that as it may, I think there will be an issue that's now going forward on a formal process with the Office of the Deputy President for the closure of this fund on the 31st March, and then we'll have to decide what to do with the remaining amount. These are the figures in terms of the process issues, and we hope that if there are any members from the Eastern Cape or taking Parliament to the people, we will be working quite actively with you to try to take these other 4,000 plus minus 4,500 beneficiaries or claimants and then work through a process. So we're having a meeting on Friday with Home Affairs, IEC, CABA, etc. There's a whole lot of groups about going and finding these people, giving them their money. It's a small amount, but at least it might go a long way. So if members of the Portfolio Committee have any ideas, please talk to us as well, and we need to work with you. And I know the chair comes from the Eastern Cape, and probably this was one of the projects closely involved as well. Right. The Medical Bureau for Occupational Diseases. Right, so the past performance on the Compensation Fund and Compensation Commission was some of those issues, now the Medical Bureau. Now the Medical Bureau did not have annual reports from 2000. Now the reports have to go to the minister, so they virtually haven't sent it to the minister nor your committee. It's in the Act that as soon as after the close of the financial year, there should be annual reports. The difficulty we have is that there was a data loss in the period 2000 to 2004. So we've written to the minister to do a consolidated report, well, firstly to condone the fact that we will not have annual reports in the period 2000 to 2004. I can't go back to our officials, etc. There's just a problem that they had, and we can't reconstruct that data. So we'll do a consolidated report if possible. From these are medical benefit examinations. So number of workers seen, what types of diseases they had, how many were not seen, etc. So that it's really almost an epidemiological type study, you know, where people come from, So we want to come back to the minister and the DG to say we'll do a consolidated report to close that chapter between 2004 and 2013. The 31st of March 2013 is the close of that chapter. Going forward from this year, from the 1st of April, we will provide annual report. So that's something that I'm telling you that we'll go forward. But we have to sort out this part of the year 2000. There are 183 service providers that do benefit examinations in the territory. So we've gone in, remember I raised the issues on governance and things. So we're trying to check on how were they contracted, you know, so there's no public finance. So the governance issues are quite clear, and the financial management and supply chain provisions are all covered. So we are investigating that, and we'll come back to this each year related to your EGO committee to tell you about the service providers. And we're sorting out whether the quality assurance, the training, etc. So these are mainly medical practitioners in the territory, or public hospitals or private hospitals in the territory that do work on behalf of the medical bureau. So they do chest x-rays, they do clinical evaluations of the workers or the ex-workers, and then they send the documentation to us. Now we discovered that when they send the documentation to us, it's a lot of times incomplete. So these are some of the issues that we're trying to tackle, apart from the fact that, you know, where's the service level agreement, etc. DVM certification is currently conducted by Dr. Zungu. He chairs some committees on DVM certification. We do some training and outreach programs which were not adequate to some of the provincial hospitals. Of very major importance chair to this committee is this thing called the risk committee. Now the risk committee has not been functional since 1998. It's a very important committee. It's chaired by the chief inspector of mineral resources. And that's why I said at some stage, and the director general and myself have been in discussion. We've tried to pull quite a few things together, but I must say to the committee, you said be frank and transparent, it's not working out. I can't get hold of the chief inspector. He's not coming, and it's simulated a process DG where the director general has to write a letter to the counterpart in the resources about the functioning of this committee. Now this committee is important because remember I told you about the controlled mine and expansion of it and determining the risk to the workers, the exposure risk. This committee has to deliberate on that. Actually deliberate on the risk of the workers for occupational disease, and then advise the minister to say that this mine must be a controlled mine or this culture must be a controlled mine. And because it's been non-functional, we've had problems about the database in setting.
Which minister?
It reports to our minister. It's chaired by the Department of Mineral Resources, but the reporting is to our minister. And that day, normally, we also want to change in the act. If the DG will allow me later on, and this committee. We want to bring it back. We want to bring it back to the Department of Thank you. Okay, so going forward, the strategic, the overall plan on the board is making policy and legislative changes, which will come back to Parliament. Thank you. We'll be improving the governance because of the functioning of many of these committees or the non-functioning of these committees. The one committee I'm having difficulty with is the risk committee, so we'll have to discuss how we're going to sort that committee out. Because all the other committees are within our management and within the ministry and the department, except for the risk committee. We want to optimize management, and we've done some substantial changes in that part. We want to enhance service delivery, and of course, the sustainability of the plan. The strategic objectives then lead into those strategic goals, and I'll move on. So let's move to policy and legislation. I talked earlier on about how we've dug a hole in the ground and we've externalized the health consequences, social consequences, and environmental consequences. We want to sort out internal cohesion between these two units, the medical bureau, which does the medical examination, and the compensation fund, which does the payment. So I'll give you some examples of what we want to do, for example, on the registry. We want to align the compensation system. We want to align with the Department of Mineral Resources. Now, the difficulty that industry is having, they have different inspectors. You have a Department of Labor inspector that comes and visits mines and works, because injuries in mines is covered by the Department of Labor. Occupational diseases in mines is covered by the Department of Health. Mine Health and Safety Act is covered by the Department of Mineral Resources. Now, we've got an inspector because Auditor General has very fundamental issues. How did you verify the risk shift? Remember, the levy that we get from the mine is based on a risk shift. So we like to go to the mines and verify the quality of the doctors, the risk shifts, etc. So we have an inspection as well. I talked about the problems of the risk committee, and we want to make the amendment that Parliament hopefully will agree to, where it should be chaired from somebody within the department. Then there's administrative provisions. We've been before the public protector, probably DG on about three or four occasions. the last occasion, who was with Dr. Anthony Pillay as you were coming out to the public sector. There are no provisions in the Act when an ex-worker or a worker has to come to Joburg from Eastern Cape. The transport costs are not covered by the Act. Or staying overnight, you know, when they need to get their medical examination done. So these have been some of the things that the public protector has pronounced on and has actually said that they are pronouncing on it, but we don't have any budget provisions for these kind of issues. And then they discuss it about local services. On governance, these are some of the governance committees that cover the compensation commissioner for occupational diseases and the medical bureau. So you have an advisory committee, an adjudication committee, and an audit and risk committee. Then that's in the CCOD. We have a certification committee, DB committee, and joint committee. So the certification committee, DB committee, and joint committee are mainly medical practitioners as professionals. Dr. Zungu chairs some of them, together with Professor David Trees from NIO. So this committee is a particular issue chaired by the Department of Mineral Resources. And then there are internal committees that were never functioning at the NBOD and CCOD, like our state committee, recipient skills, external audit and risk. And then I pointed out the issue around the 183 service providers where we trying to pick up the contract, how were they contracted, how were they brought into the system. So what are the things we're going to do going forward in terms of optimizing management? So the first thing, Chair, was to start with a registry. It's as simple as that. We used to have a file for varicoseness if he's a mine worker in the NBOD, and then we prepare a certificate to pay varicoseness compensation if he's got a compensatable disease. Then in the CCOD across the road, they prepared a new file on varicoseness. Now the problem that the Auditor General had historically and the actuarial evaluators was they couldn't link the two files, number one, or up to 30% of the files were missing. So the first thing we're doing, Chair, is to count the files that we have in the CCOD and NBOD. The second thing we're doing is to make one file. We couldn't understand the fact about it. One act, why do you need to separate varicoseness sami into two files? The third aspect, we want to verify the data in the file, the chest x-rays, the lung function, the labor history, the IDs, etc., because of the issue around fraud, corruption, and the rate of fraud. Then we're going to sort the files out. And because of the provisions of the Act, to have a mines act account, works account, etc., we have to work out where the workers are sitting in terms of separation into a mine worker, a worker in a smelter, a worker in a quarry, etc., and the types of change. And then we're in the process of finalizing a tender for the pilot and processing, which will be completed within the next 2 weeks. So that's the registry. And I'll talk to you about a little while about the backlog of the registry, because I have a slide on the backlog of the registry. The second issue was verification of the 246 control mines. So the registry is about the individual worker and the claim. The verification is about the 246 control mines. We would hope that this portfolio committee will ultimately support us with amendments where we want to control all mines in South Africa. Remember the 1,800 or 1,500 entities? We think there's some serious problems taking place in the industry and we need to actually manage all of them. But of course, we've got to start with the 246. We are in discussions with TEBA, the Employment Bureau of Africa, Home Affairs, and Department of Revenue Service, to triangulate a verification exercise, because we want to see that people are registered with South African Revenue Services. And it's very interesting, Chair. I think the Act was a very powerful Act that you all have passed historically. This is an Act that allows me as Commissioner to talk to the Commissioner for SARS and actually get data out. I think very few people have that privilege of getting data out of SARS. And I have that solution. So this Act allows us to get that, and we have already begun a triangulation of the 246 mines in one with SARS database. The IT systems was another major issue. We're doing an assessment right now of the IT system. We have a separate system for the registry, which I said is in the final stage of the tender process. We have a mine workers system, which is the backbone of the system from about early 2000. And we have an accounting system, and the systems don't talk to each other. So part of the issue was to start linking them, because otherwise there are transcription errors, etc., and that led to some of the problems we had with transcription errors, etc. And the last issue, which members will know from the Auditor General report and the disclaimers, was the reconciliation. How many people we paid? Did they get paid? What about the bank reconciliation, etc.? And this is a major issue about who got paid, when did they get paid, what did they get paid for, and who did the money go to, and how many did the bank need, etc., and so the reconciliation. So, Chair, this is some of the things that we've inherited. Now, hopefully you can see the one slide, or I hope that concrete slab below the Department of Health does not fall onto our workers. It's directly over the entrance, the fence slide. directly over the entrance to the medical bureau. So this is the building down the ground with it. Our lift has not worked for 3 months. Apparently they're waiting for parts, or public works center is waiting for parts from abroad. Sir, this is a very important issue. This is the pile. The one of the piles that went to your office. We found 32 rooms of piles in the medical bureau for occupational diseases, going back to 1959. Now, I don't know, the director then will have to advise me about past officials and whether they want to meet you. 32 rooms of piles, and that's how, about half of them were in that condition, the slide at the top here, just dumped like this. These are poor workers or ex-workers. And it's a serious indictment on us, including myself, who's been involved in the scheme for a long time, about how do we not deliver to them in business. And this registry system that we're putting in, Chair, is meant to correct, I don't know where, this up here. It's showing all over right here. But these are the files, this is one room. We showed the CFO this past week, because I'm giving money for additional funding. 32 rooms, and about half the rooms were like this. Some of the rooms were like this, with just a box like this. Now, how do you go back? That's why we've been having problems about when a worker comes and says, where's my file? We can't find the file. When Auditor General comes and says, I want to find the file, he says, he can't find the file. The actuarial evaluator can't find the file. 32 rooms. Luckily, we did not have a flood, or we did not have a fire, because we'd have lost all the data. So part of the issue now, because the building is not compliant. You can see the building, here's some of the wires hanging around. So we have an infrastructure plan to do this. So, Chair, I thought I'd bring you some ideas. I'm hoping that very soon your committee will come and visit. And of course, I told you the Department of Health is supporting us totally in the meeting. So, claims administration going forward, front office, we're going to do. So, this is getting into the strategic plan, by the way. So we're going forward. We're telling you what's the past, what we inherited, and we're telling you how we're going to go forward. So, we're going to do the feasibility of a call center, a toll-free number, so that workers can call us. Because right now it's a major problem of getting access to us. Remember, we're going to decentralize services over the next 14 years, but in the meantime, there are workers that are needing access to our services. Customer relations training. We've done some customer relations training in France for the front office staff, but we're going to continue to improve on that. Feedback to the claimants and stakeholders. Very, very important. The mine owners, mine medical officers, etc. The benefit examinations, we've got to sort out. We're working with the public health system. And here, we want to start with 2 pilots this year. For decentralized services, one in the Eastern Cape, OR Tambo region, and one in Swaziland. Partly it's linked to, you might ask why we're starting outside the country, it's linked to part of the SADC protocol the minister has launched on World TV Day. He launched with his counterpart in Swaziland and Global Fund and Stop TV. DG and the minister have been quite active in a range of stuff about sorting out things. So we felt very important to start this process. We are hoping to get funds out of different development partners. The Director General has been very active in trying to raise money for us. Because we don't have budget internal to the NBOD, CCOD budget for this, she's trying to raise donor funding and also from Global Fund to support us with the decentralized pilot. We would hope that the portfolio committee members might also assist us in some of this. Dr. Zungu has been on the ground. He spent 2 weeks in the Limpopo province and he needs to take 1 week actually doing feasibility work, etc. in the OR Tambo region. He might probably be gone, or we could come back to you at the later stage. So this is for service delivery. For the ex-mine workers, and starting off with the pilots if you want to understand how to do it properly. The back office, of course, is the completed forms, training of service providers, and fraud and corruption. We suspect that as we clean up the system, that we might pick up problems. But because when you have a chaotic system, you don't know what's going on. Maybe everything is fine, but I suspect that a chaotic system means that things will be problematic. And of course, infrastructure, Chair, we currently have a budget around 13 million that we are submitting. Hopefully we'll pick up some stuff in the adjustments, etc., for the infrastructure chain. And I'm sure it's not a problem we have with the infrastructure. Outreach and awareness as one of the other strategic objectives. So there's a range of things we're going to do with trade union, communication material. We go to different forums, health, labor, mineral resources, and also training. And the key area is we will be going to the National Health Council in the short term, within the next 3 months, to present some of the wider work we're doing on occupational and the narrower work of needing the support of the provinces on the delivery of services and also then bring to your committee. So we appreciate that today's meeting where you might give us some insight as well. And taking parliament to the people, hopefully we can be part of some of these processes as well. Now, Chair, very important issue is the sustainability of the accommodation plan. So we are saying that we want to ensure a This act is very clear. And the problem that we've had today is that the committee that worked in the past concentrated on dust. Now, dust are important, silica dust, asbestos dust. These are things, these are dust on the mine that causes lung problems or heart problems, etc. But the act also spells out vapors, gases, any other factors. So, Chair, you know, I also look after the cancer industry. So last year, diesel fumes. Diesel fumes are now seen as a class 1 cancer-producing agent, which means there's a direct link between diesel fumes and cancer production. So many of the mines use a lot of cancer diesel engines. Now the key area is, have we looked at diesel fumes? Now the Act makes provision for that. I'm not too sure if my counterpart in the Department of Mineral Resources have been looking at diesel fumes in terms of cancer being produced. So that's why I'm saying if we don't have a functioning risk committee, we can't bring these to the attention of our minister in order to go back to the mine and sort out some of these issues.
So when you say
fumes, yeah.
You mean when it has been used with conduct that says all just the fumes that are coming from fumes?
No, from the exhaust fumes. But if there are fumes from a bucket as well, any fumes, once it gets into the volatility where you can inhale the fumes, it's cancer producing.
They only mentioned cancer, not the bacteria.
No, cancer. Well, this was the International Association. They mentioned cancer at
the
But it will affect also petrol attendants, etc., etc. So it's something that we need to deliberate on a wide issue. But that was a direct one of them put out by the WHO grouping dealing with cancer, the International Agency for Research on Cancer. It put out a particular thing which says diesel fumes cause cancer. So please sort out workers who are exposed to diesel fumes or community. Thanks, Chair. And then the issue around the expansion. Now, the second issue was around revenue. So the first issue is sort out the base in terms of a functioning risk committee and the number of control mines. The second issue was make sure that we collect the revenue. You know the 246 control mines? Let's make sure that they are paying us every month the money that we should be collecting. So we have an inspector that's going out there. We started our first inspection in February. It was a very interesting inspection. I won't mention the company concept, but it left a lot to be desired in terms of the issue. And then the issues about investment, there is an investment policy, and of course the big issue that the auditor risk committee raised was reinsurance, because ours is a compensation fund, and we haven't been working, taking our reinsurance to cover a proportion. But those are issues that we are deliberating at a technical level with the Department of Health, the CFO, and other issues that are coming up. The inspection is to verify the data, the risks. Now the big issue, Chair, over the last couple of years there's been tremendous casualization of labor in all sectors in our country, but particularly in the mining sector. We discovered that many of the mines are contract workers and they're not paying the levies on the contract workers. Now the Act, again, allows the commissioner to have a register of the contract workers and a register of the permanent workers. So those are some of the things we'll be doing on the inspections. About asking about how many contract workers do you have, what is the exposure, have you been paying the levy on this? Now, the last part. And of course, the big issue I pointed out to you all, to this committee before, was about prevention is very important. Compensation is the last resort. Workers must go to work to be healthy and be good family members and provide for their family. They should not go to work to die or to be injured or to be diseased. And that was the issue that we were saying. So we also want to address prevention. Now, Chair, if anything on the committee, I know I'm going to a long presentation, but this is a very important slide. This tells you about the sustainability of the fund going forward. So firstly, Chair, historically, this is my proposition. I still have to subject it to a peer review process, you know, with other scientists, etc. But the consensus within the scientific grouping between NIO, the National Institute of Occupational Health, and the Medical Bureau and currently us technocrats, is that this base is a base that we should be looking at. So the firstly, what has happened historically, if you can see my pointer, the actuarial valuation done in the past was done on this base. You see the CCOD here, right at the bottom? Compensation Commission for Occupational Disease. We currently suspect, remember my first point about quantifying the problem. We think there are 330,000 pilot boats, of which on past actuarial valuations, they couldn't find 30% of the pilot. Of course, you know, actuarial valuations are also different from the data sample. They take 1,000 or 2,000 pilots, and they start looking for soft data, and they can't find 30% of it. So they were doing work, actuarial valuation previously on CCOD. My approach was that was the wrong base. That's only the payment base. It's people who have surfaced above the iceberg. A above the water. The bigger base is this base here called the Medical Bureau. And I gave you some examples here of 32 rooms of five. I don't know how many of them have been incubating disease. They haven't surfaced into the top one. And our preliminary estimates, there are 1.3 million fires sitting there. Okay? 350,000 up here. 1.3 million here. We're counting them now. Yes, we're talking about them now. Then, currently in the mines, there are 500,000 workers that work in the mines currently. Of course, some of them are captured into this MBOD. Some of them are captured here. Often, remember these are the 1,500. It's the total universe of mine workers. 246 of them are controlled by me. So I suspect, and we're going to verify that database, I suspect that's about 250,000 mine workers that will be under my jurisdiction. So they are currently incubating disease because we've not managed the conditions under which the mine workers work. Notwithstanding what people are telling you or telling other committees in Parliament, there is a big problem with dust control in the mine. And we'll come back to you on a later date. So there's a big issue around the incubation period here because it takes a long time for the incubation. And Chair, this is the biggest worry. The ex-mine workers. In one district in the Eastern Cape, between 1960 and 1990, 1 million African men were recruited to the mine at the age of 18 to 20. Many of them at the age of 35 to 40. I'm sure the chair has worked as a general practitioner or the physician in internal medicine as a specialist in the Eastern Cape, and he's seen many of the ex-workers coming through in terms of this. They're not in the system. These are going to need special modeling studies because this is a group in Malawi, Zambia, Eastern Cape, the border, Swaziland, Mozambique. You're going to need special studies. And this is a big, big issue. So this is the correcting of the database to do the actuarial evaluation. And I hope members of the portfolio are going to show you to say to you that the previous database of only looking at CCOD was an incorrect database because you have to look at the potential of claimants for getting disease. And the potential for claimants for getting disease sits in the bigger framework as opposed to just up here. I don't want to frighten you with the amount because this could create shocks to the stock exchange. But that's the issue on a different day when we come up with a proper figure, if we are going to do a proper scientific study on the base before we do that figure. So firstly, correcting the base. Secondly, the disease process. I spoke to the actuarial evaluators, Ernst & Young, who did the past actuarial evaluation. They have taken chair one disease. They took TB, yes, which is about 70% of our problem, and they took silica dust. And they just looked at what we're calling a linear relationship. That means there's one TB patient, and we'll pay that person so much, and if the person didn't claim, then this is the amount outstanding. Or they took silica dust, the person didn't claim, or the person will live so long, and you remember it's a one-sum, lump-sum thing. They forgot that if you are exposed to silica dust, you are 6 times at risk of getting TB. If you are exposed to silica dust and you are HIV positive, you have an 18 times risk of getting TB. And if you're exposed to silica dust, you have a 2 times risk of getting lung cancer. They had not been briefed about that. Because if somebody's getting silica grade 1 now and gets lung cancer later on, he's going to land up with grade 2. And nobody factored that in about how many people will get lung cancer if they live long enough, or how many people will get TB later on. So the second issue is about, let me call it the base, about the numbers and the exposure variables. The second issue is look at the disease period, which is slightly different from injury. You've got to look at the disease issue. And the third issue, fundamental, where I'm dependent on the Department of Mineral Resources, is the risk exposure. Remember I told you about diesel fumes. We haven't even brought in diesel fumes into the risk exposure region. We haven't brought in any other problems that workers will be having. So these are some of the issues that we need to look at. So just giving you some background on injuries and diseases. See, groups like Grand Mutual have an easy task. They look after injuries in the industry. Because if somebody gets crushed by a truck in the mine, you can immediately see the problem. Right. Fracture, broken bones, eye problems, etc. And you can sort the problem out, sort the conversation out. This is the big problem here. Occupational diseases. And I'm going to talk later on about the human resources for occupational health. Firstly, they are not diagnosed and misdiagnosed. For the health professionals in the room, there's virtually no exposure to occupational health in the undergraduate curriculum. medical students in general are not trained. Nurses are not trained in occupational health. And at the postgraduate level, there's very few disciplines that teach people about occupational health. The chair will tell you in internal medicine, he did not pick up as much as King Edward, and he should have on occupational health. But those were the early days as we were going forward to bring about democracy. The second issue is the lack of knowledge of health professionals, marked by other diseases. So the examples I'm giving you here, if you take the hand, this is contact dermatitis. You know, a worker has chemical exposure, you can see it there, and then picks up some chemical problem. So that worker will now come forward and say, I've got a problem. The problem is if the lungs of the person is being affected, the person can't see the lungs. Right, until such time as they begin to have shortness of breath, or they're picking up chest pain, or they are coughing out blood, you know, when they might have end-stage TB, when it's actually gone a long time. So when things are inside your body, it's hard to know that you are developing the disease process. So the big issue is there's a long lag time, between 10 and 20 years to develop some of the diseases. We need special investigation, and we also need causes. So this is giving an example of a healthy lung. This is a healthy tissue in a 90-year-old person who has never smoked, led a healthy life, a good Christian. Right, and this is a person, okay, maybe multi-faith. We are a multi-faith country. So maybe a good Christian, a good Hindu, or whatever. The chair was saying everybody's a Christian. This is what happens when you've been exposed to dust. See this lung here? Right. Now, these are special investigations we do. This is silicosis nodule. So this is the lung of a person. This is mild silicosis. And this is advanced silicosis in a lung of a person.
Numbers, we've got modeling studies because these are all unknowns and we must get to a much more accurate database and we can use these monitors.
theory, but how do you get to the ground and do operational research? Right, lastly, in coming to my conclusion, so the human resource technical and infrastructure needs, we have to do a proper plan. So we will be doing that over the next 3 months based on the strategic plan, and if you agree with the strategic plan, if you might decide to say these are things that are taken out, etc., as an oversight committee. There's definitely a need for legal, accounting, economic, actuarial, health and social sciences. This comes back to my earlier point. If we have 1.4% of fund management and I need to move to 10% as a benchmark or even to 5% share, these are the skills you're going to need to manage a fund. And I told you I didn't want to give you the figures. Remember the 2.2 billion was based on the wrong base. Remember the point I made earlier on? 1.8 billion was on the CTOG base. We had to go deep into the system to look at the entire base of exposure. You need fairly sophisticated technical input. I gave you the example that you can't see what's happening inside your body. We need special investigations, specially trained people, ILO classification, International Labour Organization, classification of chest x-ray, chest mammography is called. There's special training courses that tell you about these kind of things. Gene expert, you know, for TB. Infrastructure, I showed you some of the problems we have with the infrastructure, and of course, training and capacity building. So that concludes the strategic plan, where we're going to go over the next 3 years. The annual performance plan is setting up what we're going to do this year. It says it's immediate, and there are some of the issues that we're going to be dealing with. I won't bore you with the details, it's in the main paper, but those are some things we're going to put together. We've got objectives and targets. I have reduced some of our targets deliberately because we have to sort out strengthening the center before we can sort out the past. So, in order to sort out the past, and it was not worth it to give you high-level targets, but we can't meet them because of the problems that we inherited. You know, like the tiles, talking about the IT systems, etc. So I hope the chair, the committee will allow us the luxury of reduced targets in this financial year as we begin to build the system from scratch, ground zero as we call it. And these are some of the things that we import. So the budget. The budget is separated out into two aspects. Remember we run the administration of the fund and the Medical Bureau of Occupational Disease is a budget under Dr. Anvin Pillay's structure. So we have a line item in the budget, which is amounting to 52 million rand this year. We then have the compensation fund, which this committee has been deliberating on historically. In general, you will pick up that we will talk...
Can you just explain, one of the members, let me just explain that budget line. That's not that clear in this meeting. That is clear in the meeting, but not the first thing. Because this is where the budget is, and that's what we can take from it. So it does not clear here. I think there is explaining also how the administration is funded. So I thought I needed to...
And the compensation fund is a trading entity in the Department of Health, which historically this committee has been looking after. Right, so this is the budget, which is in the annual, it's in the APP of the Department of Health. So you'll pick up this under Dr. Anvin Pillay's sub-program. I mean, that's where we can have the operational structure. And you'll pick up these figures there, Chair. So great, and of course we are having discussions with CFO and the DG and Dr. Pillay about improvements that we need to make in terms of bringing this budget up, and hopefully there will be some changes later on this year. In terms of the current amount, our expenditure last year was at 1.4% of fund value. This year, the 52 million that we granted out is 2% of compensation fund value. In real terms, Chair, if we want to make this fund very, very active, I've got to go up to 10%. Now, of course, it's going to be an incremental growth. So we are in the process of preparing a very detailed submission to the CFO and the DG, ultimately to Treasury, about how do we build up the fund value, fund administration. This was the staff establishment that we had. You can go down to the bottom. Number of posts is 141. And we have currently 32 vacancies. There were some difficulties because of FESAR cleanup, but we're in the process of reorganizing the human resource, technical, etc., including community posts. The DG, last year when I came on board, made available virtually that month that I came on board 30 interns, and she has now found additional funds to convert those posts, and thank DG. And I just discovered that last Friday we gave them the registers of appointment. So DG has given us substantive IT, information technology, financial and human resource administration skills with young interns. She's also sent these interns to other partners. I'm sure she's talked about that before. But we have 30 with us. One actually resigned, so we have 29 with us. So they're going to be additional to this establishment. So we're already building up some of the models.
Just as a commentary, maybe Dr. McFarlane has explained the level of the organization. I think the highest was level 1.
The majority were level 6 and below in the public service. Majority.
Now level 6. Level. This level is something superior. That means just and when people in this world can be used as a director, in support of the problem, we need them to elevate the skill so they can address, because they're, when I address the community that will do this, I said they will be with the reform and the reform will address legal, administrative, technical, financial. But just on the administrative part, we have this problem of just but we're saying, even though they are struggling, they need to be trained. So that we have the critical mass of competent people who can then do this work and who can then discuss the problems and help them mine up the lessons. And there's a concern that also raised the issue. I know that Dr. Hassan has mentioned that we have said this as an opportunity to train our health workers in the high burden provinces. For instance, East Bay, Limpopo, and Northwest here are the high burden provinces. In this pilot, I know that the university has still maintained that we have to increase
Northwest
and Limpopo in this pilot. And we were committing that as part of the pilot, even if we can start with training our nurses. We see these patients on a regular basis. Just training the nurses and including some of the doctors, it can make a huge difference. So I thought I should read this. This is how we're trying to get the source and the chief of the future.
Okay, so this is the compensation fund, which is the main purpose of the deliberation. So this gives you some examples of the revenue and its projected revenue. Remember, we dependent the fund value at the bottom is dependent on the investment, and there will be some of the changes we want to make on investment policy, on reinsurance, etc. But this is going forward. And of course, the cash value as of the 31st of March, what we had at the time was 2.38 billion. And, you know, DG's point concerns about the low level of skills that we've had in managing a 2.38 billion fund. So again, our apologies really to members of this house that you know, we really neglected this area of work, and we now need to refuel this facility. But this will change considerably depending on the actuarial valuation and the new science. Remember the pyramid I told you? That's going to change this radically in terms of this system, but I'm not going to give you the figures for now. Right, so going forward, Chair, is phase one. What we've done 9 months is the diagnostic, the problem. Phase one is to deliver an effective and efficient compensation system for miners. And I said in some of this last year. Clear the backlog, improve the turnaround time, sort out the financial flexibility and raise awareness. Right, so this is the approach we are taking conceptually, was that we're going to be working beyond the workplace. We're going to be working outside. It's called a public health approach, working with the Department of Health, working with stakeholders, working with yourselves as you go out, etc. We feel that if workplaces aren't attuned to the needs of communities around them, so there's a very important study that's taking place right now, which is going to look at mine workers and surrounding communities, labor sending areas, etc. So that's the public health approach, which says that the consequences of work don't only impact on the workplace, they impact on people around the workplace. And we hope that you will support that approach, which says that industries and companies have to be involved on the wider issue, and this goes beyond the concept of corporate social responsibility. It's really about not doing harm to communities, etc. model, Dr. Jungal Mehta, been working with the World Health Organization, the Global Plan of Action on Occupational Health. And at the World Health Assembly this year, we'll be chairing a special session on primary health care and occupational health. With South Africa, I've been asked to chair. The request was made to the Director General to say, can we have a special technical session on primary health care and occupational health because of the work we've begun to do. So this is some of the work that we're doing as we go forward on occupational health. This is a conceptual model chair for the delivery of services, which I presented last year. So as we go forward, this is the model which DG is talking about, built on the re-engineered health system in South Africa. The primary health care, the district health system, central hospital, etc. There's some models of the training which DG has talked about. Very important, she pointed out about the one nurse. Now she just received my mandate. I hope she's going to give me the budget to go to Northwest, the Popo, and Free State. So this is the training we want to do and the link. We want to also involve private providers. There are occupational health units at higher levels that we want to work with. Four of the eight medical schools are occupational health units that we want to work with here. And ultimately, to have some discussion about the delivery of services outside South Africa, which is being led by colleagues from the World Bank, WHO, and the project-wide process with the meetings as well, some of the issues that we talk about. So this is how we develop things. We say that Rome will not be built in a day, but we can continue to build our country, build intervention. As I pointed out, 150 years of neglect cannot be sorted out overnight, but at least we can make a start. And then phase two chair is the bigger model over the next 15 years in our country about how we build a better health system for workers in South Africa. Let me then conclude by two of the issues. So this is the occupational health human resource needs for workers in the country. We currently have 4.1 to 100,000 doctors that know something about occupational health. Currently 712. Of that 712, 40 of us are specialists in occupational medicine, like surgeons, internal medicine, which the chair is an internal medicine specialist. There's only 40 of us who are specialists in occupational medicine to look after 17 million people that work in this country. The need is for 4,300. Right, the other, beyond the 40, people have a diploma in occupational health. Occupational hygienists are people who go and do hazard investigation. They go and see what are the hazards in the workplace. They measure the levels of dust, etc. Depending on which base you use, there's either 100 or 450. 450 are people who are backdoor, came in through some processes, some certificate they have in noise or whatever it is. So these are some of the problems we're trying to solve on quality assurance. So I'm glad you're deliberating on standard compliance. It's one of these areas we've been while we've got the doctors fairly well regulated. This group of hygienists have never been regulated in the country. And it's something that we want to sort of take on about whether they can. So we need 1,340. Nurses, we need approximately 9,000 nurses. Currently, we have 2,000 nurses who have a higher qualification in occupational. So these are some of the issues going forward. We're going to include the human resource plan, and DG is giving us some support again from some development funds to start the training and improve. Financing, we have to look at a new model for financing of occupational services. Of course, the critical area is models for the informal economy. 4 million workers work in the informal economy. They're not covered by any legislation. They earning a decent wage, hawkers, minibus taxi drivers, how do we look after them and just working? Now the DG, I was happy to be with the DG last year at a very important meeting with the Centre for Disease Control, and I like this side of it. It says we have to start somewhere. What do we do now that will make the future different? And DG, I hope you allow me to use this side. I didn't put your name down. I didn't say that. Okay. So the things that we do now in terms of the strategic plan and the annual performance plan with the support of this committee that will take us forward. Now, a very important issue. There was a problem about getting African people to work in the mines. And the 1913 Land Act and other things were being squeezed. The hut tax, the poll tax, the dog tax. £1 was being paid for the hut tax. Workers were earning 5 cents. So it tells you how long it took them to get that £1 to pay for the asset to the government of the day at that stage. Now, while they were fighting for resources for workers to come to the mine, they brought in Chinese, they brought in Indians for the sugarcane plantation. But it was very interesting. This is Nyasaland, the governor from Nyasaland, Malawi. In 1951, when they were having problems with labor, so he said, you know, vast capital resources and the labor of hundreds of thousands of Africans are devoted to making deep holes in the ramps, the big particles, from which gold is extracted only to be carried across the Atlantic and buried again at Fort Knox. So we took the gold out from South Africa and and we really did it in Fort Knox. Right, and he was raising the wider issue that he was having problems with food production in Malawi. But he said it was very important that we have a question in food production, but we were diverting labor to the mining industry. So there is light at the end of the tunnel, and this is the team building exercises, the strategic planning session we had last year. That started building our staff, the staff at level 8 and below, as a team collectively, to say how do we deliver a better health system for workers in South Africa and a decent and equitable compensation. I thank you, Chair. I do apologize that I went long over my time, but I hope that the committee feels that they agree that it's like the end of the tunnel and we have a change in the opposite direction.
Thank you, Dr. David, and remember that the presentation. I don't know that we would have to agree with you that when you are at the ground level, you can't handle better. You've got to go. So I think we're at the lowest level. So the only direction that you can go is to try and go up.
And you know, there's a certain thing that I last comment about the mouth.
I'm not asking questions, but it's this old act which has been amended, but probably we need some legal people to help us to look at the old act for 100 years. And obviously it was based on racial feelings. So we need to look at it. I was just making a quick calculation. I'm not an actual one. But I was just making a calculation when you talk about 1 million in the country. I was thinking to myself, 1 million in one country. So that means we are talking about, if you look at the family of six, so we are talking about 6 million people in one region that are affected. And if you multiply that by six regions, we are talking about 6 million in South Africa. Now, if you talk about that 6 million, then you can add the 7 million of people that are on Medicare, the 7 or 8 million that are on Medicare. That takes you about 40 million. And the population of South Africa is about 50 million. It means we do have funds to look after South Africa and why. It's only that one is the making them. It's very simple to get that calculation. It's the biggest industry. I mean, South Africa is big because of mining industry. And it's the worst one that is causing disease. On one side, it's eating the economy, but on one side, it causes the most disease. And in fact, you ask yourself, we congratulate the department for changing the life expectancy. But you wonder, when you see this thing, really, what is going on with this mining problem and what not? And in fact, you actually say it is these poor provinces that are affected most. And most of these people, they go there when they are in mind, when they cannot contribute to the economy. So, obviously, we need, if we are ready for the people, we need to do something to do it. And probably this is one of the corridors. And we have first parliament where we get service. I think we must accept that we have very limited. There are people who stay around the mine. In fact, you go to Tuesday to find out there's a big mine. There are hospitals even around the place that you are staying there. You wonder when you talk about the dam. How after I know in Northern Cape, people who stay next to asbestos housing, even if you've got an asbestos room, you get affected to get help with the room. How much is that? But let's say, on one side it's depressing, on the other side, you hope that things are going to happen. But let's go ahead, see, and then we'll engage in the Deputy Commissioner on questions. Let's just help see, let's not be depressed. Let's just go and have tea and we recollect our questions and we ask questions. We'll have tea for the first 10 minutes. Or a conference for about 10 minutes.
caretakers because those people are dealing with this patient on daily basis. And unfortunately, the mine workers, when they are ill and they are boarded out because they are no more useful or productive to the company, to the mine, they are taken out and they become the burden of the nurse and the clinic. The nurses at the primary health care level, they do occupational health nursing. But what I can tell you, the moment they qualify, they transfer or they resign from the government to go to the mine. Because in the government, they are not used. You find that I got diploma in occupational health nursing, but among other things, I'm doing everything, and on doing everything, the occupational health I don't display, and it's not even recognized. I've heard what you have intended doing, but we want this method as a clinic, more especially around those clinics around the mine. Doctor, you have a project in Eastern Cape. Since I sit in this committee, I've been hearing about the project in Eastern Cape. And I think when there is a project in Eastern Cape, it was a project and it was intended to roll over. I think for me, I'm almost on my exit from this. And it won't be, I wouldn't have done the people who sent me, more especially from Northwest, more especially from Bojanala region, next to Swartland, Platinum, North Penn, Blesscop, you name them.
You
can name them, there are so many. I wouldn't have done justice to see, because I'm a politician, and they be like trauma. I don't like, and I like a good report. Like, this is a good report. But at the end of the day, I want this report to be seen as evidence implemented. The last one, do you know, initially, I've been thinking that there is no further punishment in this. I really thought that there are no people who are waiting. Now I've seen the success solution. Now I've seen the thing, the pilot, the office. Then I asked myself, there was somebody who was being paid to do a job. That particular person didn't do the job. And I suspect even that particular person has got a bonus, performance bonus. I would really go back to really, how many of these people have got performance bonus? I really want us to look at those things. We shouldn't have those photos only. The person who didn't do what he was supposed to do must really take whatever. Person, I once did a notice thing last day, but today I was convinced that I did the right thing. After what happened last year here, you were not the commissioner. I directly wrote the DG a letter. And I knew that I was supposed to do it via you, but I knew that you can. I suspected that you would say to me, I must. Then I just do it, and it was between me and you. I've been having that heavy heart to be saying I may have been contributed for a person to be hired, but this is a verdict. We are going to really follow you up. You have set your own test. You have educated me today I've worked in the Department of Health for 32 years, like I said, but I have never had this. I'm going to study this and I'm going to monitor you or to oversee you around you. You have really given me a power, empowerment to really understand your director. Thank you, Chair.
You start working at Hood at 10 years. So she has worked in the department for 30 years. So she's 40 years.
Oh.
We're calculating.
I've never worked in the department for 32 years. No, I worked everywhere else. A lot of years. Not the department. So
we miss you always.
Okay. Look, like my colleague has said, last year we were very disappointed when the commissioner, the then commissioner, came to make a presentation here. We also felt like there's nobody working there. It's only one person. But it's very clear that it is quite a lot. That's really unfortunate that it is time that there is something we study from scratch. So my questions are going to be a combination of questions and suggestions. When you talk about decentralized services, in terms of your own staff, in terms of the challenges which you have put in front of us, in terms of trying to access the whole of South Africa and probably neighboring states, How is that going to have an impact on your own establishment, on the budget, on the types of skills which will be required in terms of decentralizing this particular service? Linking this to the... Because when this thing started, it was always Eastern Cape. And all of a sudden, I mean, I think there was a joint meeting with people now from Free State, Western Cape, I think Northwest, they were also, all of a sudden people are coming out from all over, saying that they are also entitled to be paid. And that is what, that will definitely have an impact on your focus in terms of your budget and your expenditure, because ultimately, you have got to know how many people are in here today. And it's not very clear if people come up every day. New people come up every day to say, I'm also entitled, I'm also entitled. So there must be a way in which you are able to deal with this, relating to, because you can't do it just Department of Health alone. Right? That's why I wanted to know about the identification of interdepartmental challenges, especially dealing with labor and minerals, the challenges which arise when you try to address this particular problem as far as that is concerned. The other one is the building. You know, the problem with government is that we always have not been to whatever portfolio committee I belong to, say, there is something wrong with public. Honestly, in terms of them delivering what they are supposed to deliver, in terms of offices, I mean, I was in Durban at one labor center. Those people does not have a feeling, you know, it's the Department of Labor building. But the people working there are in danger themselves. So that's why I'm saying there's something wrong really with how public works. It's servicing government departments. You don't think? They are not like, the departments are not like clients to them. You know, whether they deliver or they don't deliver, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like old, you know, have you guys been to, because you are from Transcat? When you want to apply for a pass, have you ever applied for a pass, a job pass? Where people don't really care whether you are there or you are not there, it doesn't matter, you know, they don't care. I mean, you can get arrested outside for not being able to produce a pass when you're having to apply for one. It's that type of attitude of public works. And I don't know how do we, as portfolio committee, do we deal with public works. Because they are not doing what they are supposed to do. That's the reason why they live so in parliament. They're the only parliament where they live force with people in them. And it's normal. The last point which I wanted to check is, in almost all these mines, there's health and safety manager. And what role, well, what type of interaction or what role do they play in terms of ensuring that you achieve your objectives? I know you are saying that these are the additional people who have project 68 or a diploma, but there might be some role which they can help in alleviating these problems before these people get sick and they have got to be bothered.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson is saying it's Midland. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, the presenter. And Chairperson, I'm having two or three questions regarding this. On page 9, the presenter was talking about the Eastern Cape project. And then you said you have 2,700 beneficiaries. My problem is that because on the mine, we have lots of people who are coming from our next country, like Zimbabwe, and then those people that are having a problem of not having their, maybe their, we are saying, the ID in South Africa. And then they don't have the paper, the right paper. So I just want to find out if they, you got 2,700 beneficiaries, and these people sometimes they change their name. You find today is Mozambique, tomorrow is Canada. It doesn't affect your budget. And the other issue is that you were saying about the no annual report since 2000. I don't know how these people doing their job without a proper report. How do you do this? Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mama. Let me just be an extensive of that commission. And just talk a little bit about that 2,700. You know what happened is that I was told then by the then Minister of Health, Umaru Sabatua, that look, listen, I've just found out that there's 54 million that was in the subscribed profile for X minus. So can you help me to find the beneficiary of that money? Because it was in the subscribed profile. It's then that Norma Zelle came up and said, he happened to have known that there's this 54 million. That's when he came up. But what you did.
Can you answer that if there's no answer? Can you explain that if there is no answer?
No, I'm trying to listen on the other. No, I'm saying the 2,700 came from the fact that nobody knew who is the beneficiary, so they took all the people that had worked in the mine, and they divided the money by the number of the people that had worked in the mine, and it came to 2,700. So it was not a sort of something that was calculated on a certain day. It was just saying that there was so so many benefits. There were so many people. That's some of them that died. That had worked in mine. And the money was 54 million. And then we divided that and it came to 2,500. That's how it came. I was trying to explain that part of 2,500. And probably they might not know that. I know it because I was the MEC there and we were calculating it ourselves. Do you get what I'm saying?
Thank you, Chet. I don't actually have many questions because I think you've identified the problems and you've got a clear direction of where you're going. So I think it might have been this and some good questions have been asked already. But I am concerned about how the OBs work and the integrate into the NHI, whether we've got enough money within the NHI to do all these things. And as has been said before, we really need to get onto the ground with primary health care. To me, that is absolutely the key. So, and then you raised some concerns today. I didn't know that diesel fumes were so bad. And, you know, if you just think about this, of how many inefficient cars and trucks and things we have, are we going to be doing anything to mitigate the result of people breathing in diesel fumes? I have a particular interest in autism, and I have been told that autism is directly related to the pollution, although, yes, they're asking many questions, what is causing it, and yet there's such an increase in autism. Is there something that can be done about this, that we can put this right at the top of the priority list, that we want to start checking up on diesel emissions, cars, vehicles that are inefficient, making sure that we've got good cars on the road? It's a vast problem. I don't know if you've got any suggestions on how we can deal with it. It's serious.
Thank you, Honourable. I think maybe your practice, my family, it tends to go further. And then when you say diesel, is it about the lead that is in that diesel? Is it about the particular chemical that is there? Or is it the carbon monoxide that gets to the emission? Because people are trying to lower the lead because it's a structural problem. Is it the lead that causes it? And as I said, one of the things that you know, that serious acute rheumatella occurs in people who are working with me. So it's something that you need. Honorable Kenya.
I think some of the questions have been asked, and also I'm glad that you have answered my question on the issue of the piloting of the project. Because I also suspected why only 9 provinces, there's only 1 province that is being catered for Eastern Cape. And especially that is in Eastern Cape. Yes, of course, I know Eastern Cape people who have been in the mine, especially come from the Ouar Tambo region, but it's not enough. There's only 1 region, you know, Eastern Cape, because there are so many regions in Eastern Cape. There are 8 regions. And they've got ex-miners even from other regions. Thank you for that, duty, because they explained that they are still going to go as far as the Bobo, for state, and in the same province, in the same country. And also on the issue of saying that something is also maybe wanted just to check the model of service delivery. Therefore, I think also we can expand it to other models of South Africa. Well, some of those people also come to South Africa to work, and they are our neighboring countries. I have a question on page 8 and page 9. I've got issue when you look at this project. This project has got 54 million available and 38. Most of these bullets, I'm not going to go bullet by bullet, but when you look, there is 54 million at page 8, page 9. But on the slide on page 8, we are talking about 54,000. For 2020. Now, I'm a bit confused because the figures are inconsistent. If you can just explain why are these figures 54 million on this side, from 20 when you look at page 9 and also on page 8, they're still having that issue for 54 counting on the bullet, on the second last bullet on page 8, 54,000 to 20 claimants, whereas on the slide on page 9, 54,000 for 20 claimants, 54 down there in the table. But when you look up there, there's that 54 million. Now, I don't know which is which, maybe you can explain why there's that inconsistency. Also, I'm concerned about the on page 10 and 14 and also page 19 coupled together, because it's said that we talk about this committee, you are always talking about this committee, and it is not on any page 19 that you say that you are ensuring the functioning of this committee. And I understand you're talking about the policy legislative changes. So, for the time being, how do you manage the monitoring, especially that the issue of health and safety here? So, I am concerned about the image for your hazard, because there is, we are still having that. We won't say you won't have that. That is that we can't do without it. But for the time being, to prevent or to minimize the spread of this disease, what can we do for the time being now that we've got this problematic committee? As far as 1998, as you are saying, yes, there is a need for the change of the committee. On page 7, you talked about the outreach program where you say you meet trade unions and employers. Now, what side do you use for the awareness now of this exocast if you say you are dependent on the trade unions through the outreach program? I understand that you say that we have something to talk about this, but how do you make that status to work for the awareness? And you said in front of the pages that some of them, they don't know their rights. And there's this 1.8 billion unconcerned on the actuarial evaluation. What are the reasons for this unconcerned? Why is it unconcerned? And the time frame to address the develop something is a related financial cleanup. If you can just, maybe if you can just have time frame so that you are able to check, to make a checklist of how you are going to go. And you said you want to spread the service workers to the wider public. How would the system work, noting that this is a financial problem there? Where will you get the money for that if you are looking at expanding to the SADC? I think for the time being that is all successful. Thank you.
We're going to the back of and that is.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, DJ, and thanks, Mr. Sami. Just Sami, for the presentation. We talked about having moved into one building. And also, you mentioned that you had two buildings before, private and public ones. Building. I just want to check, where did you move? Is it a private or public goods building? Because I have a problem with these private buildings. Maybe it will be there until you can it. So I think that you must have your own building. Secondly, Chair. You are talking about 246 controlled mines, but you insist that in future you will be controlling, you want to control all mines. Do you have the capacity to do that for the future, or in future? Do you have, because you talk about 246, do you have the total number of mines in the country? Some people say that you must forget the past, but here is the past. Imagine your 32 rooms full of fire, digging back to 1959. You're saying you are reconciling, obviously. How do you trace the relatives or the beneficiary of the death from those fires? On page 37, you're talking about your staff establishment. The Honorable Bedros talked to the vacancies, actually. I think I must ask this question. That you have got 32 vacancies. When do you think, given the rate of unemployment, poverty and inequalities amongst our communities, when do you think you will fill this post? A very important question to me, so that I must make a follow-up. I'll probably visit your office. Thanks, Chair.
No, I'm covered by the neighboring Mr. Khan. The question is also by Mr. Khan.
Those are the questions. As I said at the beginning, the effective concern, I think we need more time, and all of you will need time to debate. But one wonders with the elections coming, we will have time to go there. But it would have been very much better to have time to go there and think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be able to answer all the questions, but I'm sure the department is going to answer. I think the pertinent thing that came up, it was about the percentage that you pay for administering this fund, which we have heard about, and the quantity of the human resources that you have, which is but we understand where you come from when you say, especially with the diagnosis that you have come up with. But go ahead and answer the question.
Thank you. DG will take some of the questions, and then we will assist, and other colleagues here will assist as well. So let's start. Firstly, thanks to the honourable members for their concern and commitment. We can't undo the past, but I can understand the frustration of committee members in terms of the problems. And yes, I think always when new people come, maybe we promise the world, and we'll be looking forward to the engagement. But just by way of background, and some of the colleagues on my side will know, I started off my working life as a doctor for the trade union movement, the fledgling trade union movement called COSATU. This was a time when doctors didn't work for trade unions. Free of charge, the trade unions couldn't pay us. So we didn't do limited practices. We did work outside of time to support the trade union in the 80s, when it was unfashionable to do this. So I come.
You didn't do that in another way.
It was too far away, not in the
too far away. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we apologize about. I'm a technocrat now, so I'm not saying on which side of the divide I stand, but I'm just pointing out that we are glad that the Minister of Health and the DG and yourselves in the portfolio committee is looking after work with us. This is only a start of a process, but let's start beginning to build on that. So let's start with the honourable member's question on the issues around the vacancies. There were quite a few questions on the vacancies and the unemployed graduates and interest. The difficulty we have with while we've got these vacancies, there was a facile clean out because of so sometime last year the department did a clean up of the database. I think there have been problems with fraud and corruption in the system. I'm unfortunately, they wiped out many of my vacant posts. So I do have a staff establishment, and we're busy trying to sort out this whole issue around the Fesal cleanup, and there's going to be a meeting between the CFO, Dr. Pillay, and our head of human resources, Ms. Gumbo, in terms of sorting out this issue. In terms of going forward, I think we committed to a new staff establishment over time. That's related to the framework issues. This issue is too deep to be sorted out in 1 year, so we've given ourselves a 3-year framework for correcting some of the farms, improving on the diagnostics, and moving forward. You guys are saying that there was a personal cleanup, and some of our posts got thrown out. But DG has given me some urgent intervening posts like medical doctors, accountants, state accountants, etc. Those posts will be filled in the next two, the posts were advertised. Shortlisting is taking place this week, and hopefully by June, because of the nature of the April-May period, by the time we interview people and everything. So we will have approximately 8 accounting posts filled in this period, and 3 medical doctor posts filled in this period. The rest, plus minus 20 posts, we'll have to get back to actually getting the staff establishment corrected, etc., in terms of that process. The wider issue in terms of Honourable Member Kenya has put on what is the time frame, this is going to be a 3 to 5 year process. I'm not promising you, while we're doing the parallel intervention, but I think to manage the process in 3 to 5 years, we will come back to you, but remember, we're still getting on top of the system. So we will get back to you about that. But really, it's about a 3 to 5 year process while we're dealing with the decentralized funding pilots and all of these things. The wider issue about the skills base that we're going to need, and that's why we want to do a proper thing. It's related to wider skills below, beyond the level 8s and level 6s and things, which are in many administrators. We have to bring in much more, it's a two-way process. We're going to need some people that deal with a registry and a file and a clerk, but we're going to need some high-level skills of legal, actuarial, scientific, etc. Because there's some complex issues. As the Honourable Member pointed out, she's been in the nursing profession for a long time, and maybe there's some empowerment issues coming in. We'd be quite happy if there's a study session that the portfolio committee has to spend time with the study session to tell you about work-related disorders and the problems around work-related disorders. And I gave you some examples of this, where we pointed out that there are things happening inside your body, whether it's lead in the brain or the four chemicals problems that we had many years ago and manganese poisoning. There's very, very complex issues, and unfortunately there has to be a scientific approach to train personnel. So part of this issue, that's why we're saying the human resource capacity issues, it takes 15 years to provide a specialist in medicine into the field. So even if we start next year, we'll only deliver occupational medicine specialists in about 15 years' time into the system, particularly with complex issues. Dr. Zungo, for example, is leading a whole initiative on nuclear safety. Remember, in terms of energy policy, we're going to make some changes to energy policy that might depend on nuclear power. We've got to start preparing doctors who understand nuclear safety and nuclear health issues. And he goes to a meeting shortly in Vienna that's looking at the disaster and nuclear issues. I'm not saying that ESCOM is not dealing with these issues, but we as the occupational health people have to look at the radiation safety of workers, etc. So we'd be quite happy to come to you at a later stage about some of the wider issues in occupational health while narrowing down on the issues here in terms of human resources. So I hope that's covered quite a few things, that it's not a quick fix solution. While we'll deal with some internal retooling so that workers work. I mean, there are performance agreements, as members quite rightly pointed out. There was the issue around performance bonuses. The DG will have to handle some of this before my time. But I'm holding the members here, at least 2 members of my staff that are here. And I'm also due, although I'm sitting slightly outside the DG's framework, but I'm due to sign a performance agreement with the DG based on this strategic plan and annual performance plan. He has to monitor me, notwithstanding the oversight by the committee. But members of my staff that are sitting here with me, they've got performance agreements in place. We've assigned tasks. We've assigned issues, and there'll be the kind of normal stuff of monthly, quarterly, and all of those kind of things. So I think we're covering some of these things within the human framework, and then of course the capacity building and training that will come in internal to the staff, because we want to work with the staff with us. As I showed you the last slide, we've already started some team building exercises, telling people what the big picture. Many of the staff did not know what was the big picture. They didn't understand the context of a worker coming in overnight and sleeping in the cold outside the door. And I think we want to talk to social development, provide some coffee. There's other arms of government that can help us to deliver. And the point was made about interdepartmental issues. I think we're going to get to some of these. But as I pointed out, it's going to take us 3 to 5 years. We will start some quick wins, quick fixes, and the fifth issue was about the registry and putting it together. So these are really on handling anything else on the human resource. On the unemployed graduates, you help me with the interns, that's separate to establishment at the moment, and then some other issues on HR, then I'll get to some of the more complex issues.
Can I just say this?
So if you have a one-stop shop for the
STR-TV, on MDR and STR-TV, we don't actually have rates for mine workers. That's some of the work that we're putting into the surveillance system. So it's a very important issue that the Honourable Member raised about what are the rates and what are the issues. Because we found the problem that, there's not been a problem. Department of Mineral Resources as a direct oversight. I have an indirect process because of the compensation and the levy. So it's quite important at some stage that we discuss the oversight issues and this and so that. But we've tried through different forums, the outreach work, of emphasizing with mine and safety officers the important work they do in terms of prevention activity. The key area was to sort out the dust problem, sort out the noise problem. Honorable member raised the issue around diesel fume clouds. They should be alert to these things. And if there's nothing trained, then we must provide training for them to be alert, because they are the people who are full-time in the employment of the mine, and they should be doing the prevention work. So we are talking to them, but it is also to discuss with the mine health and safety inspectors in the Department of Mineral Resources. I raised earlier on the difficulties we're having between the two committees, and it might be, with the chief inspector of mines. And at some stage, I think we might need to convene a meeting between the two portfolio committees. The Director General has listened to a counterpart in the Department of Mineral Resources, but that's another issue. So those mine health and safety people fall within the Mine Health and Safety Act, which is administered by the Department of Mineral Resources. We can make some input, but we don't have direct oversight over it. On the buildings and public works, I share the members' concern. So we are now in a government building. The two buildings, one was private, where the CCOG used to be, and one was public, where the MBOG used to be. We've now consolidated all activities out of the private building into the public building. But I showed you some of the problems we're having with the infrastructure backlog, and members have raised the concerns about public works. But we have there is an infrastructure unit within the Department of Health, as you know, and they are assisting us, but we'll ultimately be asking to liaise with the public works as well. If members can assist, we'd appreciate some support on that. We've covered the borders. We'll be looking at some adjustments because we have committed budget this year to start small, like Eastern Cape or Tambo. I take the point, and I gave you one example of the Eastern Cape where in 30 years, 1 million people were recruited. So this is a much bigger issue. We'll have to work through some new mechanisms. We'll have to get new funding support. And at 2% of budget share, I'm not going to be able to expand services or recruit staff. While we'll do some work internally, but I'm going to need an expanded budget to deliver on the mandate, and we'll rely on the committee helping us to do that. As I pointed out, from 2% needs to grow over the next 5 or 6 years to deliver services to our people on the ground who are incubating diseases and don't have services in terms of this issue. The external countries, ultimately the model is that the companies that cause the problem must actually contribute to a fund. So that's the wider discussion that takes place. You cannot cause the problem and walk away from the problem, by not controlling dust, etc. But it's a wider issue that we need to discuss. The issue of annual reports, I mentioned that we will go for a consolidated report. I can't do much about the past, but we'll do the 2004 to this financial year, and then going forward to the annual report, etc., and be monitored and perform in terms of this. The issue of the risk committee and the interdepartmental staff, we will come with amendments. I don't think DD has any other ideas. I don't have a short-term solution on the risk committee, because when you have a chair that comes from another department, the chair, we provided the full support, secretariat, etc., but I have no answers on that in the short term other than an amendment to the act. But did you maybe want to comment on the risk committee?
The chair is not a
programs and the awareness. This is related to wide issues on the rights of workers, and we would think that unions play an important role in bringing the rights of workers, but we are also encouraging management. So through various forums, we've got 6 workshops lined up. We are attending 2 workshops this coming week, actually, hosted by the National Union of Mine Workers in the Johannesburg region. But there's a wider issue, and ultimately through the process, those new points of ward-based committees, etc. So there's a process internal to the department, but there's a wider process that we're trying to bear with ward-based committees. Your work that you do, we're going to increase our pamphlets and things. But the key area, Chair, I was concerned about is that if we can increase the awareness, but if we don't sort out the support at the center, given the crisis that we have, then workers are going to be very frustrated that they come forward and we can't provide the support. So it's really a chicken and egg solution as to what stage. Do we deliver the services? Workers are already very frustrated anyway, we still have to continue the issue about rights of workers and improvements. Did you want to comment on this?
No, I think on the
statement,
Mr. Chair, in the past, financially, before the appointment of the president, we have given a 5 million to secure the services of the nature to help stop us at the situation. And when we looked at that, we recognized them as the reason why we went the route of appointing the president, that we recognized that the problem was not just an administrative one, but a administrative, legal, technical, and also financial. And it means we only solve a side of the problem. So we then asked the technical committee to further follow up. I think we had a meeting with the renewal presentations and so on. But when the technical committee is not included in the presentation, when you look at the annual report of the renewal to establish what the admin costs, they actually charged the government of this on the COIDA. Between 15 and 20% admin fee. So we said it is not affordable and sustainable, so we did not follow up that action. So we have to go back again to Treasury, maybe to do the adjustment budget and see whether we can ask for more funding for extra resources for this work.
On the issue of the diesel fumes and other emergent problems, I think the member is quite concerned about quite a few things. Remember, this was only about the compensation fund and miners. We are hoping to come back to you all as late chair on occupational health for the country, which goes wider than the mining industry. The chemical industry, the informal workers, the agricultural workers and farm workers. Members here have raised some serious concerns about farm workers as well, and the work, pesticides and all of that. So I don't have any time to answer about these fumes, but something that we'll take up in the department. We have to do some special studies, but I do have the monograph from the International Association of Research on Cancer, which highlighted the cancerous, but issues around toxicity, etc., comes from a field called epidemiology, and we might have to do special studies. We have to talk to our counterparts in Medical Research Council, which has a research mandate, and we can pull on this. DG has reminded me about Kesselberg and some of the issues around that with the issues. But we'll get back to you. We are starting to build a surveillance system. There's a new process for the National Public Health Institute of South Africa, which is building on some new models for surveillance on injury and violence prevention, non-communicable diseases, communicable diseases, and occupational health. But we'll get back to you at a later stage when the GGP will be, you know, we should come back to you about some of these issues. I think I more or less have covered most of the things that members have raised, the bar, one or two. NHI, on the funding model, the point you raised here is a fundamental one. If you've got 120 billion in the Department of Health, you know, 120 billion. So I think the sufficient funds in the system, but Dr. Anton Saleh can talk about that. But we are coming up that the compensation system should also be able to pay. The dumping syndrome was very relevant. People get injured in mines or factories or farms. They come into the public health system, and often we can't pick up those money. So part of the issue that we have, by training health workers to understand work-related problems, we can also go back and look at the compensation system. So that was the relationship I wanted to say that will partly come in on the financing model. In terms of that, Chair, you had alluded to some of this before about the funds sitting aside. In the Department of Labor, there's 30 billion sitting in the compensation fund for non-mining injuries. We are sitting with plus minus 2, that might be going up to 10 billion. So you're looking at sufficient money sitting around beyond medical payments, you know, payment for the injury, but paying the pensions and compensation. But Dr. Pillay might want to conclude on the NHI club, but I think I've covered it unless members have any other serious issues. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Philip. Do you want to come in answer?
No.
Because we don't have time. Okay. Remember, members, I don't think we've got enough time because there are other things to discuss, unless there's something that is burning, but I would request for later days. If nothing, thank you very much, Dr. Berike, for family. Thank you very much, DG, with your team. In fact, now we understand why TB doesn't want to leave us. Yet, it's a curable condition. It's something that we can show, but it does not seem to leave us. Other members, it doesn't want to leave us. So we definitely understand, and we think we can be above it. So we understand some of the things that you mentioned as challenges. Members, also, I think the meeting is still on. I don't think we need to continue digressing when the meeting is still on. Please. So we accept and deal. We definitely want to know that we are going to be part of our system. We're going to be oversighting you, but at the same time, we're going to be assisting you. It's a huge problem. And it goes back to years. And as one member said, that we keep on saying that we don't need to go back to the history, but this one goes back to the history. And in fact, you can actually pick up that it started in the late 80s. That's when the problem started. And it's not only affecting us physically, it's affecting us mentally, because this thing of migrant labor system is one of the challenges that we have in South Africa. And it's related to the mining, that people were leaving their houses and staying somewhere, and the families were actually deported. So we accept your report. Thank you very much. We'll see you, but we'll try and see if we can have time to go there, even if it's you, a member. Just to go and see what's happening, and then we'll continue in kind of meeting. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Derek Islasami. Thank you, Sam, even if you didn't speak, but we know you have contributed in making it to happen. Thank you, Dr. Zuma. I'll tell Dr. Zuma who can go down. Thank you, DC. I wasn't sure who was holding it for you, whether it was Anton or here, but I knew one of them was holding it for you. But thank you very much. Members, thank you very much. We're not going ourselves. We allow them to go, and we continue discussing our things.
Thank you.
Who joke that there is always ours that belongs to the development. He can stay if he wants to stay. So members, we need to separate you. At a certain stage, membership should sit at the back. Should sit on the side, other side, should direct another, should sit in another corner, so that we separate you. Can we members quickly go into that small discussion? Can we quickly discuss this thing of any challenge? There was a suggestion that we need to have 5 minutes and discuss the